Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome into another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, John Hamm from Oklahoma City. He's with the OKC Dream Team. He's a writer for Daily Thunder, also Bleacher Report, and an insider with Franchise Oklahoma 107.7 FM in Oklahoma City. He'll join us in a little bit, and we'll talk some NBA with him. Not much Thunder, actually. A little bit of Paul George, but mostly just big picture NBA stuff in light of the Mark Cuban news, Dallas Mavericks news from yesterday. The NBA resumes tonight after their All-Star break. So we'll talk about the races in both the West and the East, a quick look at free agency coming up this summer, which teams, if any, have a chance to upend Golden State and Houston out West. And we'll talk about the teams in the East. Are the Cavaliers good enough for LeBron James to drag this new unit back to the NBA Finals, where it seems like LeBron goes every year? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. First, let me tell you about Crystal, the Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford, just next door to the Oxford Exxon. They've got the $3 meal deal now featuring the Chipotle Cheese Crystal, which is kind of right up my alley. I like the spicy stuff. It's there, the Chipotle Cheese. You can also spice it up at Crystal with the Chipotle Cheese Crystal, the Chipotle Cheese Loaded Fries, the Red Hot Slushy at Crystal, the brand new Red Hot Slushy that's made with Red Hots. So if spicy is your thing, now's the time to go to Crystal. You also can get the 24-pack party pack of Crystals. And we tell you about the breakfast all the time with the fresh cracked eggs. It's all there at Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. Call the number at 662-257-1900. Tell Corey Clark that you are looking for a new Ford. Tell him what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote. It's in 15 minutes in business hours. It's so simple, right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal on a new Ford. Great service after the sale from the people there at Clark Ford. Great delivery options. You can work all that out with Corey. And then at the end, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. It's $500 off the bottom line on your brand new Ford purchase. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Going to get to John in a second. Let me tell you this first, because we did the interview, on Wednesday night, and at the time, the story was not out with Spurs coach Greg Popovich saying that it's unlikely that Kawhi Leonard comes back from the quad injury at all this year. So I asked John about that. He didn't have that information at the time. It came out a little later. We joked with each other on Twitter about it, but certainly a major development for a Spurs team that, while they're the 3 seed in the West right now, they're not that far from falling completely out of the playoff race, and there are some hot young teams in the West: Utah, Denver, Portland, a beat-up New Orleans team that's trying to find its way after losing DeMarcus Cousins for the season, a Thunder team that's 4-6 since losing Andre Roberson for the season. So the West is wide open. The Spurs, without Kawhi Leonard, have a difficult schedule, and it's going to get difficult. So we'll talk to John about that and other topics right now on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Here's John Hamm. Okay, John, I appreciate you taking some time with me. I know that it's been probably been a pretty busy week, even though there haven't been a lot of games. I know there's been no shortage of news there. I'm going to start with something completely non-Thunder related because I want to get your thoughts on it. We're taping this on a Wednesday afternoon. Mark Cuban got fined $600,000 today for his comments on a Dr. J podcast, which would be probably the equivalent of you and me getting fined like $5. I mean, you know, it's a pain in the ass to write the check, but it's no big deal. And the $600,000 is not the biggest issue for him. Not a great day for Cuban and the Mavericks, right?
Yeah, there are some issues going on there. Man, it's
I haven't seen that yet. So was he talking about the fact that it's better off for the Mavericks to be losing right now?
Yeah, he basically was saying that, you know, they don't want to play well. He's basically pro-tanking, which here's what kind of bugs me is I like that he's getting fined because it's funny and all that stuff. But the what he said was basically true. You're better off losing. I mean, everyone in Memphis is still up in arms that the Grizzlies did not trade Tyreke Evans because he might accidentally help them win a couple of games down the stretch. What Cuban said, I know it's stupid to say it, but he's telling the truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, that's the way the league works, right? I mean, it's talented guys are the ones that are going to make or break your organization, right? So, yeah, I mean, he is right. It's just sort of that secret. I don't want to say secret. It's, you know, the league doesn't want teams openly talking about how, you know, yeah, we don't want to play our best because obviously tanking is a very bad word. So it's really unfortunate. I think it has to do just a lot with the sport of basketball, though. I mean, if you get the greatest running back on the worst NFL team, it doesn't move the needle. It doesn't necessarily move the needle. Or, you know, the best pitcher on the worst baseball team doesn't really move the needle a whole lot. But, you know, you take whoever the best player is right now, you drop LeBron James right now on, I don't know, Atlanta. They're a playoff team. That's just the way the sport works.
Is there a way to fix that? I mean, I know that you guys have talked about it on your podcast. Everyone likes the lottery, except the lottery, as you said, it's conducive to tanking. Is there a realistic way, in your opinion, to force teams to compete, more teams to compete?
I just don't know. And this is not a recent thing. I mean, back in the 80s, this was happening whenever, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon was the great prize or Ralph Sampson. I don't know if it's really fixable, you know, in a fair way. I mean, yeah, you can basically put every team into the lottery and help address some of that. But, you know, then just a couple of times when you have, you know, a fringe playoff team get the number one pick and everyone's going to be up in arms about that.
That fuels conspiracy theories. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, then you tweak this out. And I mean, what else are you going to wind up affecting? I mean, it's so delicate. I mean, like the equilibrium is equally, you know, easily disturbed by this whole thing. So I don't know. Like I say, it's kind of the nature of the sport. I mean, this is why there's so many recruiting scandals in college, you know, basketball, because, you know, the great players are the one that will that get you the wins.
You mentioned LeBron James a minute ago. Obviously, he looks like a guy that's got new life. You saw him there in Oklahoma City right before the All-Star break. The Cavs beat the Thunder there, and then he's the MVP of the All-Star game, which was, by the way, the best All-Star game I can remember. They actually played the fourth quarter, and it was really exciting. That was awesome basketball.
That was nice. It's nice for a change.
It worked. I mean, that's what I love. It's the one thing I love about the NBA is they're willing to try things. And that was cool. I mean, now they're going to show the draft next year, which junkies like you and me will watch. And and then the game's fun. I mean, you could tell the guys competed. It was cool. I liked it. Anyway, back to LeBron. Cleveland, they go out, they get George Hill, they get Rodney Hood, they get rid of Isaiah Thomas, they ship Dwayne Wade back to Miami. They get the guys from the Lakers, Nance can't think of his name right now, the guard.
Oh, Clarkson.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson. They get those guys. I know there's probably still some chemistry issues and stuff, but they look like a team that's enjoying playing together. LeBron looks happy. Kind of a couple of LeBron questions. First of all, is that team now good enough to win the East? And then two, did the Cavaliers do enough to make LeBron happy enough to stay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible that he could drag that team to the finals again. I mean, you know, he's drug a worse Cleveland team to the finals. You know, it's that the team before the trade deadline was just such a mess. I mean, just chemistry wise, I watched some of their games, you know, where they were just kind of going through the motions. I mean, like there was a win, second win against Minnesota that I was doing, you know, it went to overtime because LeBron was just like hardly interested in playing, you know. So they definitely needed a big shakeup there. You add Kevin Love back into that eventually. Yeah, I mean, that's a mix that he can probably get back to the finals with. And, you know, oddly enough, it could convince him to stick around. I'm still kind of curious to see this, you know, the relationship between him and Dan Gilbert, the owner. You know, I don't know if that's going to, I don't know how bad that is or how much that factors in his decision there. But that's something worth watching. As far as the roster goes, I mean, they got some young legs that don't have years and years of NBA finals runs on them. So I think that's going to help out, you know, probably more than people realize.
Yeah, because those deep playoff runs year after year after year, they do wear you out. And that team was an older team, and they were toast. That was not – that had they not made those moves, they were not turning things around. That deal was getting cancerous quick.
Right. Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's the other thing I look at, like, with Golden State, you know, making those deep runs year after year with that same core, that adds up. So, you know, I think, you know, kind of Cleveland ran into this. LeBron is just, he's just a freak. I mean, he's made 7 straight NBA finals and probably going to go on to 8. But yeah, I mean, that core in Golden State, I think that's what some people are kind of looking at and saying, is that what might kind of undo the team eventually and kind of giving some people hope and maybe some motivation to, you know, push the chips in a little bit.
Let's switch to that side a little bit because the Golden State, you're right, they're going – they'll start the, quote, second half. It's way past the halfway mark. They'll start the stretch drive here in the next 24 hours or so. You'll see them on Saturday night when the Thunder play out there. Look, they're really good. They're 44-14. They're only a half a game out of first in the West. I mean, I'm not over-exaggerating and saying they're showing signs of weakness. But they're not the dominant team they were before. Their bench is nowhere near as good as it's been in the past. Let me ask it this way. If a year ago the Warriors could have absorbed an injury and probably still won the title, could this Warriors team absorb an injury to one of the big four and win a championship?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Or not just an injury, but just even like, I mean, Draymond Green is not playing at that level that he has been playing. Now, it's just hard to tell whether has he lost a step or are they all just pacing themselves. So it could not, you know, is it just a drop off from one of the guys? Is that something? And especially on the defensive end, I think is what you're looking at, because the team has been not great defensively really since the turn of the calendar year. So, and that's Draymond Green for the most part.
I would argue their best defender the last couple months has been Kevin Durant.
I think you're right. I mean, and he's the one that's been getting, you know, obviously a whole lot of Defensive Player of the Year love as a result. Yeah, and like I said, you're right. This, if I had to bet money right now, I'm still going to say Golden State wins the title this year. But at least it is quasi-interesting at this point, and then think of, you know, next season and beyond. When, you know, are there things that could actually develop a little fissure there and maybe a little bit of hope that maybe this won't be a, you know, 7-time NBA final winning dynasty?
Trying not to get right into the Paul George thing, but you just sort of led me there. Mm-hmm. You're in because obviously if the Lakers, they went out and cleared out the space, they've got the space for the 2 max contracts. They could get LeBron, they could get Paul George, and that would be that, and they could build around those guys. I'll get your thoughts on that in a second. I'll start there, because obviously we're going to get to Klay Thompson as it pertains to the Lakers in a minute, which to me is you feel free. You're more connected than I am. That's more realistic in my eyes, Klay Thompson going to the Lakers after the 19 season than Paul George and or LeBron going there after this season. It doesn't look to me like either one of those guys are – they're not closing the door on it, but they're not exactly keeping the door flown open either.
Right. That's the feeling. And we just keep coming back to the idea that Paul George is just unlikely to go out to Los Angeles by himself. with that Lakers team. Now, if the Lakers package all these young guys and cash in for a legitimate star player, maybe that changes things. Or, you know, if LeBron does decide he wants to go there, and there's even some debate over whether he would do that. You're right. It doesn't seem like an inevitable situation anymore. Like, we're just kind of going through the motions here, waiting for the offseason so this can happen. I think there's a lot of a very positive thought that Paul George is more likely to stay in Oklahoma City for at least a season than he is to take off and go somewhere else after this season. It's very difficult to not like parse statements and dig in and try to find meanings here. But everything that he talks about is very much like this is year one of something, because he just kind of understands. And this is something the Thunder are big on, is continuity. So I think he kind of, at least he's been presented that. He seems to understand that. And so everything is really good. I just keep cautioning, you just don't know what happens until July 1st rolls around. Until you sit them at a big table across from Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, and they make their big show, and they do something to convince him to leave and go to Los Angeles. You just don't know. But in the meantime, I mean, everything's still positive.
Remind me to get back to Klay Thompson, Lonzo Ball, and all that in 1 second, but I'm going to ask this while we're talking about Paul George. If Paul George returns, the Thunder just signed Russell Westbrook to the big max deal. Carmelo Anthony is, I would assume, is going to opt into the last year of his deal because he's not going to get that money anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Steven Adams is making a lot of money. Andre Roberson's making a lot of money. You're the preeminent capologist that I know, at least, and one of the very best in the business. What will the Thunder be looking at from a tax standpoint if Paul George signs a max deal or something resembling a max deal? Carmelo opts in. Russell's contract kicks in. What are they looking at from just a tax line?
Yeah, I wrote about this. It was kind of a throwaway point that I put into an article I wrote for Daily Thunder, that there's the possibility that the luxury tax bill could outweigh the payroll bill for this team. And you know, these are fluid numbers. They can change, and they almost certainly will, you know, one way or another. But let's just say that this team came back in its current form. You add in Paul George on a max deal. Jeremy Grant is another guy that maybe the market will lead him back to Oklahoma City on a reasonable deal. Add in some, you know, veteran minimums, and suddenly you could be looking at a payroll of $162 million, which is expensive. I mean, don't get me wrong, but then they would be subject, because they've paid luxury tax for the three prior seasons, they would be subjected to the repeater tax, and that could rack up like $168 million in luxury tax. So that's where a lot of people across the league have been saying, no, I mean, Oklahoma City can't do this. I mean, Los Angeles and New York and Chicago can barely afford to do this. There's no way Oklahoma City can do it. But I think they're ready to do it. I really do. I've been trying to talk myself out of it, but when they made that trade for Carmelo Anthony, knowing that he's likely to opt into a $28 million payday next season and the cost that comes with it, it sounds like that they are committed to doing that.
Give me a scenario where the Thunder are a title contender next year. Would they have been a title contender this year if Andre Roberson doesn't get hurt? They were really playing well. I don't know that they had enough. Is there a scenario when those guys come back that it makes it worth it to have that tax bill, that they're actually a legit title contender in 18-19?
I mean, I think so. I really do. And you're right, because December 1st, when the starting five all played, they were undefeated. And there was a lot of injuries that kept popping up and derailing. You know, Paul George had a nagging injury. Steven Adams had a concussion. Robertson was knocked out for a few games, you know, here and there. But they really had something rolling. I mean, and they had a team that had knocked off Golden State, had knocked off, you know, Houston, albeit without Chris Paul, had knocked off Toronto, had shown very well against Boston early in the season before they kind of got their act together. I don't think it's out of the question. And, you know, like I say, continuity matters in this league. So I think there's the thought of, you know, by the end of the season, hopefully they're playing the best they can. They can make a big, strong run wherever that takes them. And it's enough to show that, hey, you know, this team is very close considering what's going on, you know, around the league as well. So, you know, and they've got some young prospects still. I mean, they're still extremely high on Alex Sabrinas. They're obviously high on Terrence Ferguson. Make some adjustments here and there, and there's reason to believe that this team could be, again, like in the top four, top five next season.
We take a break from our interview with John Hamm to tell you that this podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage. Community Mortgage is located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Community Mortgage is the leader in condo financing and the Oxford market as well. So get in touch with Jason Lowe and ask about Community Mortgage's float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. It's jlowe at communitymortgage.com. It's jlowe at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee. For Beer Garden listeners, it's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast is also brought to you by Strategic Partners in Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different from other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing is done solely by their staff and created uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call and see how great they are. Get in touch with Austin at austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Again, austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Now back to our interview with John Hamm on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. All right, I wanted to ask about Lonzo Ball, so I'm going to get here. I think Lonzo Ball and his dad and that whole act, it's obviously good for television, it's good for ratings. ESPN keeps going there. They wouldn't go there if it didn't get hits and didn't get ticks and all that stuff. And I mean, they're the Kardashians of the NBA, and mm-hmm. in many ways, it's going to be great for their pocketbook. It's going to work. I'm not convinced, though, that whether it be LeBron James or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or Klay Thompson, are any guys like that that – I mean, let's take those that group. All that's left for those guys really is to win titles. Do you want the distraction of all that in L.A.? How much – if you're the Lakers, how much is that stuff starting to bother you and make you think, you know, this might end up costing us in the big free agent hunt, which is obviously – become the master plan there for the next, 18 months or so? It's to get two of the four or five guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I've been trying to parse out, like, obviously this stuff is very annoying to, like, us. Not everyone, but, I mean, it's annoying for the most part for the majority of us. And, you know, obviously LeVar is one that will open up his mouth and give his opinion all the time on anything if given the opportunity. And I noticed that's died down. I assume that's because he's in Lithuania. I don't know for certain. That's a challenge. You know, and the one thing, at least with Lonzo, and as far as I know, and I'm sorry, LeVar, I keep saying Lonzo when I mean LeVar.
I do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he has criticized Lonzo's teammates. I think most of his, you know, has been aimed primarily at the head coach and, you know, maybe some of the organizations. So, you know, maybe maybe the players would be off limits for some of his opinions, and he knows where to, you know, kind of, at least in that aspect, kind of stay in his lane, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me personally, I don't think these guys would be interested in having to deal with that in addition to all the other distractions that come with living an NBA life. But, you know, I'm trying to get a good read. Maybe I'm just an old fuddy. maybe it's totally okay, and I haven't got the memo yet.
I just look at it and I see all these teams in the West, the Rockets, obviously, the Warriors, of course. You know, I have some thoughts on the Spurs. We can get there in a second. Minnesota's an up-and-coming team. Denver, I love the way that roster's built. Portland is at the very least a pest. Davis is in New Orleans. Utah has won 11 in a row, and I kind of like some of the ways they've put that team together, and they're not going away exactly. So I don't know that for some of these guys going to L.A., I'm not sure where it gets you closer to a championship either. I mean, if you're LeBron, especially here in the next, that's all that's left for him is to win another title, to win another two titles. Yeah. I don't know that going to the Lakers gets him anywhere near as close to a title as he is in Cleveland.
If, you know, let's say that he and Paul George did go to the Lakers, and I assume they're now the starting front court. You know, look, Brandon Ingram's a nice player, and maybe LeBron James, you know, helps him become a better player. Lonzo is, LeBron James is going to dominate the basketball. I mean, that's what he does. And then Lonzo is not John Paxson, you know, sort of a catch and shoot point guard, you know. Lonzo is at his best when he's got the ball in his hands. Obviously, if you have the opportunity to do it, you do it and sort it out later. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking at this, and I think some fans too are kind of looking at this from the lens of like 2016. When Golden State was able to, you know, pull in Durant without sacrificing any of their core players, that's over. You know, now you're going to have to gut your team to go attract two or three all-star players, or you better have really good young players on hand. And like those young Lakers that would stick around after the fact, they're nice. I just don't know if they're the type of guys that, you know, LeBron is necessarily seeking to team up with, but you know, who knows? Maybe Los Angeles is just all of that, and that's what really matters to him.
I know you don't know the answer to this. I want to get your gut feeling. Does your gut tell you that Kawhi Leonard plays again this year?
I think yes. Now, the Spurs are always a difficult organization to get, you know, really anything out of. But, I mean, that's my hunch. Now, I do think, you know, it was reported by Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski that there's some, you know, a little bit of friction between Kawhi and the Spurs organization. I think that's legit. So, I mean, there's a lot of frustration there. And maybe it's just because the injury is just not healing properly. But when all said and done, we got, you know, 20-some-odd games left in the season. I would be shocked if he doesn't play again. I still think he's going to suit up at some point down the stretch, heading into the playoffs. And, you know, if he doesn't, you know, then you really got to be concerned. You know, what's he really dealing with there? Because this is something that's been, they've treated very conservatively, and it doesn't seem to be that significant of an injury. If you can't play all but, you know, 9 games this season, you get really concerned about that.
John, if he can't come back, I mean, I know Pop's great, all that stuff. Great. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good. If he can't come back and help them down the stretch, they have the second hardest schedule in the NBA down the stretch. I know that today they're tied for the 3 seed. Actually, they are the 3 seed, just barely over Minnesota. But they're only 3.5 games out of the playoffs, if you will. Without Kawhi, where do they fall?
I've wondered how long they can hold on to that 3 spot without Kawhi. And they could very well hang on. I mean, they have a great system, and they find the right guys, and they seem to just spur up, you know, whatever wins they need to get. I don't think that, you know, they've got a stranglehold on that 3 spot. If Kawhi can't come back, I wouldn't be shocked to see them fall into maybe the 4 or 5. I don't think they would tumble out of the playoffs. And I know there's some teams, it's tightly packed in there. And one injury one way or another could really, you know, sway things. I don't know. I just have a lot of faith in Popovich, and, you know, Aldridge has had a nice season. They've turned things over to DeJounte Murray. I just don't see him slipping a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely one to keep an eye on, because again, it is just so bunched up between 3 and 10 in the Western Conference.
So if I told you, and look, I think it's either going to be Golden State or Houston, but if the basketball gods came down, they paid a visit, and they said it's one of the Western Conference is going to either be it's not going to be Houston, it's not going to be Golden State in the finals. If they told you that, who would you say it was?
Honestly, I'd say Oklahoma City. I really would. Even without Andre Robertson, if you go look at a lot of the statistical measures, and I know, you know, people have different opinions about stats, and a lot of this is, you know, heavily influenced by Robertson's presence, but they've been one of the five best teams in the league. They've been inconsistent, disappointing. They got off to a rough start, but their margin of victory is good. And when you look at their, you know, simple rating system, which also combines their strength of schedule, I mean, that puts them up there as well. And it's a team that people in the organization feel like is built for playoff basketball. And I kind of think they're right with the firepower that they have on the roster. And as the game slows down, yeah, they've got some issues that, you know, they have to cover up for. But, you know, in the end, if Oklahoma City came out of the Western Conference, I'm not going to be sitting here, you know, with my jaw dropped. I mean, I'd be doing that like if Denver or Portland came out of the West, or even Minnesota, to be completely honest with you. If Oklahoma City did it, I could understand. And we've seen them play against the best in the league and see what they're capable of. You know, get them in a 7-game series and, strange things can happen. It wouldn't shock me if they scored an upset or two.
They do seem to be that team that gets up for big games. And in the playoffs, there's no back-to-backs. Everybody gets to rest. They will be certainly one of the interesting teams. I'm kind of interested. The team that captivates me a little bit is Denver, and I don't know why. I just like the way their roster's put together. I think that's all it is. And I like Jokic.
Yeah.
He's just fun to watch. I'm going to get to the East just real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. But I got a lot of Memphis Grizzly listeners that listen to this. If you were running the Grizzlies right now, I mean, obviously you're trying to tank, you're trying to get a quick pick, you're trying to get an impact player in the draft, whether it's Bagley or Young or whoever. If you're Memphis, what's the long range plan if you, John Hamm, or the GM of the Memphis Grizzlies, they're 12th in the West right now, they're years away from competing for anything resembling a championship, what would you do?
Yeah, and really it kind of comes down to, I think, kind of getting off the idea that it's NBA title or bust. And I know that's kind of a fringe thought out there. But, I mean, you still have, I think, the workings of a team that, when healthy, can be very good again. You know, maybe a 4, 5, 6 seed in the West with what they've got. If you've got a healthy Conley, if you've got Gasol, add in, you know, I don't know, the 6th pick in this year's draft, or maybe even a little bit better. I still think they have the workings to get back and be a respectable team again. You know, but if the idea is NBA title, then you got to do a whole lot more renovation than that. And I don't know how quickly you could pull that off with what they've got on the books, especially with Chandler Parsons on the books. I don't know if you can actually go down the path of trying to find a medical retirement route for him that would expedite getting him off the books. But that's tough. I do think they can get back to respectability, but yeah, if you're looking for an NBA Finals contender, now you're talking about auctioning off players, getting as many picks as you can, and hoping you strike gold in multiple NBA drafts. It's tough.
Switch to the East quickly. I know I get West focused, and I should with you since you're around the Thunder every day. Why do we not give the Toronto Raptors a chance? No one does. I don't give it to them. Yet here they are. They're 41-16. They're 2 games up over Boston for the number one seed in the East. It's a tough place to go win games up in Toronto. There's a decent to solid chance they're going to have home court the whole way, yet nobody picks them. Nobody takes them seriously. They've got a nice team. They've got a star in DeRozan. They've got a very good guard in Lowry. They've got pieces like Valanciunas and Ibaka and et cetera. And yet no one gives them a chance. Do you give them a chance? And if not, why not? Why does no one take them seriously?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, now that there's, in the past, you could say, okay, it's been LeBron James and the Miami Heat company, or LeBron James and Kyrie Irving that's in the way. But since you don't have that this season, sure. I mean, you have to look at Toronto and Boston as, you know, legitimate candidates to come out of the East. But yeah, people, you know, the past 4 years, Toronto lost in the first round twice. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals once. They lost in the semis last year. You know, people kind of look at this, you know, 4 year streak of, you know, playoff disappointments more or less, and just say, well, that's the team they are. Maybe you're right. Maybe this team is, you know, maybe Kyle Lowry is just destined to not be a, you know, playoff guy. You know, or maybe DeMar DeRozan and his game can only get you so far. But, you know, I kind of come from the old school days, kind of like you, Neil. I mean, teams usually, this is how you emerged, right? You went to the playoffs year after year. You kind of worked your way up. And eventually you got better and keeping your core together. And, you know, you would hopefully break through. So it seems like this is Toronto's time to break through if it's going to happen. Because, you know, next year you just got even more miles on Lowry and Ibaka, and having to make some tough decisions on how to inject some life in that roster.
If Boston had Gordon Hayward, would they be a title contender? Because I don't think they are one right now. They're really good, but it looks like they're starting to kind of hit the wall a little bit. From what you've seen, if they had Hayward, would that be enough?
It might be. I've always kind of thought, like, you know, that injury is incredibly unfortunate, but maybe sort of a blessing in disguise, because there were so many new parts that came into Boston, not just Hayward. But, you know, you had Kyrie Irving coming in, and, you know, blending in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And, like, it kind of gave those guys an opportunity to show what they can do. And whereas if Gordon had been healthy and played this entire season, you know, maybe we don't see the full extent of what those guys are capable of. But now they can do that. I think Hayward will have an easier time coming in. And, you know, rather than being a centerpiece, being, you know, one of those super role players like Golden State has. And that, you know, that could be the X factor. Maybe I'm just reading into this way too much. I'm still not completely convinced he's done for the season. I'm still wondering if he can't come back. And I mean, I'm not saying come back and play 30 minutes a night, but come back, you know, off the bench at the end of the season, into the playoffs. Maybe I'm completely off my rocker there, but you know, that's something I've been keeping an eye on. And hey, let's say he was healthy enough to come back and play a 15 to 20 minute role off the bench for that team. So that's something. So I don't know how much that'll benefit them this season, but get him back on the floor in good shape next season, that's starting to look like a monster out there.
Yeah, I don't know what you do if you're the Celtics. If the doctors clear him, and obviously he wants to play, and you look at it and go, he could be 100% next year, and yet we're here, and that'd be a tough call, because if it goes bad, you never recover from it, right? I mean, that's you're second guessed forever, and you possibly ruin a career, and you owe him a ton of money, and it's a disaster. But you're right. If he could come in and play 15 minutes and make some shots, the jolt he'd give you from an adrenaline standpoint would be off the charts.
I go back to the Paul George season. Now, granted, he broke his leg in July. So it was a few months before Hayward broke his. I mean, he was bound and determined, and he came back and he played six games for the team at the end of the season. And every injury is different. I mean, I think his was a clean break. There might have actually been some minor ligament damage with Hayward, if I'm not mistaken. So it may not be exactly the same kind of injury, but, you know, he's kind of progressed from, oh yeah, he's just kind of shooting in place, but he's not doing any running, to, okay, yeah, he's traveling with the team. And you just wonder if he's going to be able to progress to the next step and to the next step. And like I say, you get down to the end of the season, you know, it is a tough call. I think the difference being is that they could say, you know what, we've got a chance to go for it. And if you're good and you're not afraid of, you know, shattering your leg now every time you land, I don't know. Like I say, I can't rule that out. I just wonder. Maybe a little too much, but I wonder.
All right, last two things, both Oklahoma related, none to do with the NBA. Well, one to sort of do with the NBA. Trae Young at Oklahoma. What kind of is that a great year? It looks like he is trying to get the hell out of there as fast as he can, trying to get to the league. I don't blame him at all. The money is staggering when you think about how much money is on the line every time that he drives into the lane right now. What kind of an NBA player do you think he'll be?
Yeah. It's interesting as you watch when they got into Big 12 play, and then suddenly, you know, West Virginia stuck Javon Carter on him, and other teams just completely focused their entire defense on him, and OU's supporting cast is just not good enough. And so Trae Young has really suffered. I mean, other guys have not been able to make teams pay for making, you know, Young their defensive focus. So I think that's the frustration for him, because, like, yeah, I mean, the NBA is going to be, you know, it's obviously a higher level of talent. But I think if he might be seeing it as, I can grow more as a player, but if I went professional now, then come back to OU for another season. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to get rewarded heavily for it. I believe in the kid, and it's not just because of the deep three pointers and the Steph Curry comparisons. The guy is he's a point guard. He can set up other guys on the floor. He's got great floor vision. It's dipped lately, but he was averaging well over 10 assists per game at one point. He needs to add some bulk to his body and everything like that, which, you know, every player coming in the NBA does, and pretty much every NBA player eventually does at some point. I think he's going to be fine. I mean, I think I was low on Blake Griffin for one reason or another going into the NBA, and he turned out to be the star that he was. So I think Trae Young's got star written on him. I think he's multi-time all-star in the league eventually.
Okay, last thing, you guys are getting ice falling from the sky right now. There's yes. It's I've seen people call it ice apocalypse, snow apocalypse. In Mississippi, when we get that, we just shut her down for a week. I mean, we say we're closed, and we just move on. You just wait it out. What about in Oklahoma when the because you don't have many trees there? I've been there when the wind blows, it gets really cold. What's the shutdown status? And is there a single loaf of bread or a gallon of milk left on the shelves?
Yeah, I got my shopping done early, so I'm not having to go make emergency milk and bread runs. But yeah, the past 2 days, so I work near the OUHSC campus, the OU Health Sciences Center campus. We basically, my organization does whatever they do. So we shut down early yesterday, shut down at noon today. That's kind of been the thing. It's become over the years where they're a lot more willing to do that, to get people, you know, just get them off the roads, you know, don't have everyone trying to fight at 4 o'clock. And, you know, when this is blowing in, like, get people home ahead of this thing. And if it doesn't come in, oh, well, we erred on the side of caution. But yeah, I mean, it's a whole lot of things just, you know, just shut down. And that's been a change over the past several years, but, yeah, I think it's the safest thing to do, and just, again, err on the side of caution.
Yeah, we had a maybe a half inch of snow last month. We just shut the schools down for a week. Just shut them down.
Yeah.
4 days,
yeah.
Not a full week. It was Monday was the Martin Luther King holiday. We just shut it down Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Said, nah, it's good. I mean, there was one little spot where there was a patch of ice, and everybody was like, ah, screw it. We're out.
Yeah. Yeah, my kid's school was – so yesterday – they didn't close early, but they just sent out and said, if you want to pick up your kid early, that's fine. Which is what we did. School's closed today. We're pretty much expecting it'll be closed tomorrow, too. And it's not like that we can't handle this sort of stuff. I mean, Oklahoma has had a number. I mean, we had a blizzard, I don't know, less than a decade ago. I mean, like a legitimate blizzard that came through.
My brother was living there when that happened. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's not all like, you know, 100 degree weather and tornadoes here. It gets really cold. We get a lot of ice, but we do have the infrastructure to handle it. Some cities don't, you know, especially further south of us. We have the infrastructure to handle it, but, you know, over time, there's just become this thing of, you know, let's just for the general good, let's just start to shut things down. It's not that important to let people go home a few hours early. Let's keep kids out of school. You know, let's keep all the buses off the road. Let's keep kids off the bus stops in freezing weather like that. So, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, I'm a big fan of the podcast, all of your podcasts, actually, that you do. I listen to Down the Dunk, OKC Dream Team. So appreciate you being with me. It's kind of fun, as always. And enjoy the stretch drive, the playoff run, and the Paul George soap opera that doesn't feel like it's going to be the KD-type soap opera. But who knows? There will be some headlines, and hopefully I'll talk to you before all that rolls around.
Sounds great. Always good to talk to you, man.
Thanks, John. Take care. Our thanks to John Hamm for his time today on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Going to get to the LB's trivia question in just a second. First, let me tell you about LB's 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. It's across the street from Kroger. It is fantastic. It's the freshest cuts in Oxford. It's the best place to go for your fresh meat. They've got all the fresh cuts. I tell you about the bone-in ribeye all the time. The aged bone-in ribeye, just fantastic. They've got strip steaks, fillets, the ground round, briskets, all. So whatever fresh cut you're looking for, they've got it. They've got the free-range Joyce Farm chicken. They've got the locally raised pork from Home Place Pastures, fresh seafood from the Gulf. All of that at LB's. They also have the LB's Food Truck. Look for it. Follow it on Twitter, LB's Food Truck. And along those lines, $25 gift certificate to LB's if you get the first person to answer the following trivia question on Twitter. So I'm going to ask the question. You get the answer. Send it to me, respond to me on Twitter, and also include at LB's Food Truck, hashtag Beer Garden, at LB's Food Truck, at Neil McCready, and hashtag Beer Garden, and with the answer, and you'll get a $25 gift certificate to LB's Meat Market. So we were talking a lot about whoever won the East, if it's Cleveland, if LeBron James drags the Cavaliers to the NBA Finals, could the Cavaliers win a game against Houston, against Golden State? Could they win one game in the NBA Finals? Would it be a sweep, considering the disparity in talent on those two teams? Wouldn't be the first time there was a sweep. So here's the question. Who was the first team to sweep an NBA Finals series? What team and what year? Who was the first team to sweep an NBA Finals series? Put that answer on Twitter. Send it to me, at Neil McCready, at LB's Food Truck, hashtag Beer Garden, $25 gift certificate to LB's Meat Market. Thanks for joining us here today on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. I owe you a football podcast as spring football gets started, as we really turn our attention to the NFL draft, to pro days, that kind of thing. So we'll get that to you here next week, working on a couple of different football guests. So we'll get you a football-centric beer garden sometime late next week. Until then, take care.